following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Gobble gobble on this, man.
Do the bang thing. Do the bang thing.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert.
Where does Tom Brady rank on your all-time list, Troy Aikman?
Well, he's awfully hot.
I think Troyton's a queer.
Hello.
13-year NFL vet, Super Bowl participant, 6-time Pro Bowler, Donovan McNabb.
I've been just going home.
Bacon. You know, brothers. You know I'm bacon.
I got
you know
I love bacon.
You're going to love this. Bacon.
As a white man, I have to take a stand. I remain outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm going to whip my ding ding out.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Friends, delegates, and fellow Americans, I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States.
John, SOS, this country is in big fucking trouble, man. Big trouble.
I know. No shit, the whole world's in big trouble. Before I go on, I have a disclaimer, though.
Uh-oh.
I knew we were going to talk about this. So, quick disclaimer.
Floor is yours.
To the Trump campaign, because I know how you fuckers are, and you'll get a hold of this. We're only joking. We do not want your candidate to tweet at us for the next 3 days, all right? We know he's very easily distracted, okay? Have you seen his list of what you're allowed to make fun of?
What?
Yeah, he put a list out before he got roasted on Comedy Central of what was off limits and what was allowed in terms of being made fun of. And one of the things that we know we're allowed to make fun of is his lesbian porn model illegal immigrant wife. But we know that he doesn't like it when people say that he hasn't got as much money as he pretends to have. So I'm just going to go ahead and start off this season by saying that you and me, Tom, have more money combined than Donald Trump. But seriously, no tweets. I don't know about you, Donnie boy, but I'm too busy to play around with you all week, and I'm going to assume you do too, Tom.
Well, I have to play this clip because it just cracks me up.
We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration. To stop the gangs and the violence and to stop the drugs from pouring into our communities.
Oh, my God. And when Le'Veon Bell heard that, he said, I am voting for Hillary Clinton.
He called up Hillary Clinton and asked, can I get them first 4 games back? I will vote for you. I will vote for you.
Oh, my God.
Donald does know that there's these things called airplanes and stuff, and that they do tunnel and things like that, right?
Oh, you know. Yeah, I know, and that's what my son Tyler said. As soon as he heard that, he goes, you know, that wall's not going to stop him from walking through a tunnel. What is
no.
He, you know? And it's not.
But don't forget, Tom, we have to make them pay for it first before we can pour the first fucking yard of concrete.
And, you know, they ain't got no money. That's why they're all screaming.
Good luck with that.
I honestly don't think I'm going to vote, man. And anybody can say anything they want about me, but this, and I don't. It doesn't matter. We're in trouble. We are in trouble.
I ain't saying who I'm going to vote for, but I'll say who I'm not going to vote for. And if I say his name 3 times, he'll appear and start tweeting at me furiously.
Hey, look. All I can tell you, man, is I hope so that we can continue to do the show. Yeah. I hope there's real good internet and everything. In Australia, where we're all moving, okay?
Right. I know we got some fans down there. Colin McPrickham McCallum or whatever his name is. Now you call it. Yeah, I know you're down there. You got us hooked up. You got us a spot.
Yeah, Australia looks really good to me right now.
You know, I would have called up Tilliard. I would have called up some of our friends in England, but boy, didn't they shit the bed the last couple of months ago.
I'm just going to go to one big island that seems to be just fine.
Well, but see, that used to be Britain, but not anymore.
Right. Which is why that's a good place to go now.
Yeah, pretty cheap.
All right. Well, I am Tom. He is John, and it is Bang Radio Hour number 273, first show of our 12th season. Unbelievable.
And once again, when you announce that I am John, I wave at my freaking computer screen like an idiot.
Good enough.
All right. So hello to everybody that's new to listening to us. And if you're not new to listening to us, hell you, you too, you know? Hey, you know where the bathroom is and you know where the refrigerator is. So make yourself at home.
Right.
Right. So I'm excited. What do we got?
We got AP Find All Day coming up.
Yeah.
The definition of pride and respect, John.
Okay, I'm glad to hear what that should be, Tom, because as an American living in the new America that's ready to come, I need to know what those things are.
Exactly.
Because I'm not sure we're going to have any of either.
Billy is very agitated.
Oh, boy.
Oh, not, no, no.
My ho-hos.
Not that Billy.
Oh, Calvin Johnson retired. He was my favorite.
And the danger in Cleveland, John. Wait till you hear about this.
Wait a minute. Didn't we just hear him? He already left Cleveland, though.
The danger in Cleveland? Oh, yeah, Johnny Manziel?
No, Donald Trump.
Oh!
They did their best, though. They gave a bunch of them norovirus. They some of them drank the water, I suppose.
Oh.
USA! USA!
Oh,
USA!
In Cleveland, they had to put that up on the teleprompter so that everybody in the crowd would know how to spell it.
Oh, my God.
You know, at first, Donald Trump's speech said, "We're going to take this election like it was the Super Bowl." But he had to change it because nobody in Cleveland knew what the fuck he was talking about.
I did find it pretty funny that Trump was accusing the Democrats of rigging the schedule for the debates because two out of the three debates between Hillary and Donald, which I think are going to be very entertaining. Very, very yeah. entertaining. That'll be some great right. television. It's bad for the country, but it's going to be great TV for three nights.
like, give Howard Stern a bottle of liquor and have 2 hours, then turn the camera on.
Well, you know, two of the three debates, one is during Monday Night Football and one is during Sunday Night Football. And, of course, you know, Trump's got the mail vote and they're not going to watch because football's on. And you know what? He's right.
Well, Democrats don't watch football. We know that.
I'm going to be watching football. I'll DVR Trump and maybe catch it, but I'll be watching football.
I got news for you. Even if it was Donald or Hillary Clinton and somebody else, even if it was two completely different candidates, even if it was two qualified candidates,
yeah.
I'd still watch football.
Yeah. Oh, so, absolutely.
You know, he can complain all he wants, because if they did it on Tuesday night, what the hell's on Tuesday night? That's what I'm watching.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? I don't care. I can read it tomorrow. I really don't need to watch you.
And I understand that the NFL let him know, hey, look, this had nothing to do with anything involving us.
Actually, Tom, let me tell you something. We have absolutely nothing to do with these games, but we're going to move the games to Tuesday night because we're going to have a twofer special on fines against defensive players that actually tackle someone.
Thank you, Commissioner, for clearing
Twofer Tuesdays. We're trying it out for marketing purposes. You blindside a quarterback, hey, that's a $25,000 fine times two.
Wow.
Wow is right. Let me tell you something. You don't afford top-class hookers for the end-of-the-year party in the commissioner's booth with no money.
All right. Enough about Trump. I do not want to spend any more time on here. First thing we got to get
to... Dude, you can't say that. He'll tweet immediately.
Who cares? I never.
No, he doesn't want anybody in the country to say that.
I never read my Twitter anyway. And I'm not following him, so it doesn't matter to me. But anyway, we got to get to this.
Weed.
Yes. Hey.
My favorite part of the show.
There are professional athletes that are still smoking marijuana, John.
You know, Tom, I've got to put my foot down. I really do. This is getting out of hand. I don't know why they just can't stay off of that weed.
Stay off the weed.
Oh, by the way, Stephen A. and Skip no longer together. I do not like First Take anymore. I'm sorry. It's never going to be the same. Stephen A. needs to go to Fox.
Well, you know, he went to Fox. He's still saying the same old bullshit, but now you have to watch him against Colin Cowherd, and I can't do that.
That's why I said Stephen A. now needs to go to Fox.
Well, yeah, that would be good. I'd be able to deal with that. That would be fine. I thought it was funny the other day. They were at Redskins camp, and they couldn't stop talking about the Giants.
Wait, John, wait. Can you imagine Skip Bayless, Colin Cowherd, and Stephen A., the three of them together. Holy
and
shit.
And Donald Trump is president. Holy shit. Sauron is coming.
We are in so much trouble. That's what I'm talking
USA,
about.
USA.
Oh
USA.
God.
USA.
Shut up, Donald.
Dogs Jesus. Playing with cats. People marrying tables. What's this world coming to?
Good God.
It's the pussy generation.
All right. So anyway, Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell. He's appealing this four-game suspension. If you hadn't heard, he failed. I'm sorry. He didn't fail a test. He missed multiple tests.
You know what? Hey, guess what happens, Le'Veon? I know. See, the Redskins play the Steelers on Monday Night Football, the first night of the season, or Sunday night, one of those two. I don't know. We'll have to check with Donald Trump and see which one is scheduled. But I'm glad that he's gotten suspended. And think of it this way, Le'Veon. You can appeal all you want, but if you drop a pass, if you miss a pass, it goes to the next down. You don't get to turn around to the ref and say, oh, you know what?
I got a new phone, man. You can't count that. I got a new phone.
I got to appeal this. I didn't drop that pass.
Well, now, you know, he says, this is his direct quote. I read this on ESPN.com from Jeremy Fowler. This was on July 25th, so just a week ago, a little over a week and a half ago. He says, quote, I'm not going to miss games. Trust me, I'm going to win the appeal. People have no idea what happened, but don't worry. Oh. Let them hate. And then he wrote directly to a fan, when I end up missing no games at all, people for sure going to try to love me again, and I'm only riding with my loyal fans.
Oh, that's all he's doing. He's only going to ride with his loyal fans, which is what, about 75,000 people in his car?
Yeah, and he capitalized loyal, John.
Wow, that means it's serious.
Don't you love that? Let me put this word in all caps so they know I mean it.
But I let these people know I ain't messing around. Hey, you know what, though? I say that it's good that he's going to miss week one, but all that means is the Redskins have to deal with D'Angelo Williams, and I don't think the Steelers missed a beat last year when he was in there, right? Isn't he still their backup running back? I don't know. It's the Hall of Fame game is this weekend. I don't know anything about anything yet.
No, D'Angelo Williams. Yeah,
he's still there.
He'll start, and he'll have 130 yards and a touchdown every week until Le'Veon Bell
comes. Mind your tongue,
up.
Sir. Seriously, you can't say things that are disparaging like that. Donald Trump will tweet right at you.
Well, Le'Veon Bell, you know, in that quote, he sounds like he's in complete control, but listen to him.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, I only can control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
Oh, my God. That might be the world record for the number of times control is said in 15 seconds. Get the Guinness people on the phone. Get the McWhirters on the phone.
Oh, no. That's Maxwell Smart, man.
I can't control what I can't control. Hello, Chief. I'm trying to control what I can control. Control?
Oh, no. That is great, man.
Hello, Control Central. This is Agent 86.
Play him again.
Hello, Control Central. This is Agent 86.
Play Le'Veon Bell.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, I only can, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
All right, so let me ask you this, dude. How quick is that clip of him? Is that like less than, that's like 8 seconds, isn't it?
5 seconds.
Holy shit, if I'm the commissioner, I'm thinking, we best start testing that boy for cocaine.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, I only can, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
Tune in next week for another case right out of control, Secret Files.
Oh, my God. I think he's got some of the Bogota right up there in the left nostril. I can see it on the video.
That's fantastic. Maxwell Smart and Le'Veon Bell. Who'd have known they'd have ever crossed paths?
Obviously in control.
Oh, listen to this. Listen, Jim McMahon. We remember Jim McMahon.
Of course.
Of course. Well, his whole deal about, he's all for legalizing marijuana, and he thinks players should be able to use it for their pain and whatever, and he says they can't and they won't be able to because of Big Pharmacy. Listen.
I think they're in cahoots with Big Pharma.
Cahoots?
My whole career they were pushing pills on you. For whatever ailment you had, they had a pill for you. And that's the reason that they're demonizing this plant the way they are.
That guy in the background is not a very good bass player.
No.
What?
I don't know what the fuck that means. I couldn't hear any bass players.
Don't.
And I must have missed it.
Don't. Here, no, listen.
I think they're in cahoots with Big Pharma. They've my whole career, they were pushing pills on it.
Did you hear it?
Look, once he says cahoots, I can't hear anything else. They are in cahoots, Tom. That is the legal term.
Right.
However, I think he's 100% correct. I think that, really, you know, as I get older and I watch this freaking game, as saturated as we are with it, I can't help but think that everybody, not necessarily us, but the people who bring it to us, they treat these people like fucking prize bulls and cattle.
Oh, yeah.
Keep them out there. Keep them playing. Once they're done, go on.
Well, now at least now they're getting taken care of.
Somewhat. Yeah. But, you know, the thing is, there's some cahooting going on. So,
well, I mean, look, the way they're getting paid now and, yeah, you know, they get the this money that's been put into the league for CTE and all this. All that doesn't cure your CTE, and I can't do anything about that. And you don't have to play the game, but this is why you're getting taken care of, because of things like this. And so I think that's great. You know, I mean, the money they make now, look, if you make $50-60 million over your career, and 2 years after you're done playing football, you're broke, fuck you. I don't want to hear
it. No shit.
I don't want to hear about it.
I completely agree.
Come on.
I completely agree. You know, and one of the things, you'd have to be the biggest idiot in the world for somebody to be able to snow you by saying, yeah, you can run your brain into this for 11, 12 years and nothing's going to happen. Everybody knows the risks when you play football, and when the money that they're making now will set their families up generationally.
Yep.
You pay the price and you get what you get. So as a football fan, you got to take a moral compass of yourself and decide whether or not it's worth watching to you. And I still think it is. So hell yes. When it comes to the money, Kirk Cousins is going to earn a shitload of it this year.
Yeah, don't invest your money into any stupid scheme, some dumbass who's friggin', you know, go to a legitimate, long-time, reputable, proven investor and have him invest your money.
Right. Get involved with something like Trump University. Right.
Hold on.
Good.
So speaking, you know, so Le'Veon Bell, he misses the test. You know, you can be anywhere when they make you take a test.
You
pee in that cup. So they had Josh Norman was asked what was the weirdest place he ever was given a drug test.
Where's the most random place you've been asked to give a urine sample?
At a picnic. I'm grilling out a hot dog. This guy shows up. I'm like, okay, wow. All right, guy. We're going to get this done at. Man, there's no privacy about it. Just go ahead and, you know.
Can you imagine? You're grilling hot dogs at a picnic, and a guy comes up and says, hey, you got a piss in this cup, man.
Just slide it up there under your apron. Aunt Matilda won't see anything.
Jesus.
Let's go step over into the portable toilet over here. Let's go over here to the portable toilet together. All kinds of rumors get started about Josh Norman and some guy coming out of a portable toilet together.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, I only can, you know, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
USA! USA!
So what did they do? They go over behind a tree?
I don't know, man.
That's ridiculous. He said a family reunion.
I know.
His grandmother's sitting there. What in the world is Joshua doing over there with that man? Something don't seem right about that. It's all right, Grandma. I'm just giving him some urine.
Oh, man. All right. Last year in the NFL draft, I'm talking about the 2015 draft, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones ended the free fall of one Randy Gregory, linebacker from Nebraska, took him with the number 60 overall pick. He was, you know, he was supposed to be like a top 10 pick, the best pass rusher in the draft, and he dropped in the second round because of off-field concerns, John.
Right. Well, you know, those are concerns that happen on off the field.
Yeah, well, he tested positive for marijuana at the combine. And
that's straight into the hood gangsterism, right? No. It's a direct slide right on down into the gangs.
Stay off the weed.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. So major character issues.
Yeah, and also he was late to pre-draft interviews, and they were concerned about his mental game and if he could handle professional football. And
so
He was a burnout. He wasn't just smoking every once in a while. He was like, you know, hey, dude. He was Spicoli showing up late at these meetings, right?
Oh, yeah, rolling out of his car, smoke pouring out of it. Yeah, he was. He's probably Josh Gordon's best friend, if truth be told. I mean, you know.
They draft him. He does the old, I know that, dude.
Right. But, you know, Gregory said, you're getting a guy that hasn't even scratched the surface as a person and as a player. He said, there's a lot of tradition with this organization, and I don't want to be the one to bring a bad light on that, and I won't be.
I'm sorry.
Right.
He doesn't want to be the one to bring a bad light on him.
No, he had a heart-to-heart talk with Jerry Jones for about 40 minutes. He talked about, he said the reason that he used marijuana was for his anxiety. And he said, literally, this is what he said. He said, quote, hopefully pro football will be so much fun, I won't even have to go down that road.
Tell you, Mr. Jones, I'm telling you, man, if I get out there and I'm having fun, I won't smoke nothing, I swear.
He said, then after he got drafted, he was talking to Melissa Stark from NFL Network, and he said, quote, I got a lot of respect for this organization. Jerry Jones, Coach Marinelli, I got a lot of respect for them, and I want to make them proud. Me and the Cowboys, we're going to take over this league, end quote.
He doesn't want to be the black mark on the organization there, Tom. He doesn't want to be. I mean, you know, this is an organization with a major drug dealer in Nate Newton. This is a guy. They had a guy in the Hall of Fame that stabbed a teammate in the neck and got caught with multiple freaking times with cocaine and prostitutes and all kinds of shit. There's a guy that was on the team just a couple of years ago that killed a guy.
But.
And the pothead's like, yo, man, I swear, you ain't even going to find a roach in my car. He would have to take off his clothes, smoke a pipe full of meth, and go hold up a freaking Wells Fargo truck to be able to get in that league.
Oh, my God. Maybe, you know, he wanted to make everybody proud. Maybe he thought, you know, I know Jerry Jones likes when the Cowboys get talked about, so I'm just going to keep getting high.
You know how I feel about it, Tom. I mean, you got to have a good crop of criminals on your team, because that's how you win.
Exactly.
You get a good group of them out there that just has blatant disregard for the law.
Jesus. Yeah, so anyway, I want to know what the hell his definition of pride and respect is, talking about Randy Gregory, because he's now checked into a rehab facility.
Oh.
Yes.
Is it run by Ricky Williams?
Well,
color.
Okay, so he was already given a 4-game suspension back in February for violating the league substance abuse policy, meaning since he was drafted, he failed a test. Or, you know,
I had to celebrate a little bit, man. I just got drafted by the Cowboys. I mean, wouldn't you want to just toke one up?
Yeah, but you were drafted a year ago.
Well, yeah, I know, but it was like the anniversary of the draft, man. So, you know.
Okay, so the Cowboys had not even been notified of the 4-game suspension before he went and failed another test.
They caught him coming out of the office after he pissed in the cup once and went, hey, can you do that again?
Oh my God.
He found him in the parking lot of the freaking clinic getting high after he pissed in the cup. He's down in his car, toking up. Glad that's over with.
He ain't getting busted for using weed. Weed.
Oh, my God.
Clearly we did not draft him for his mental acuity.
So now he's probably going to get 10 games to a year.
Oh my God.
Unbelievable.
They couldn't even make a phone call. The doctor put it in the nurse's box and said, hey, call Jerry Jones and tell him his boy failed. And she said, okay, as soon as I get myself a cup of coffee. And by then, he had gotten somebody snagged him from another clinic. Hey, come in here.
Oh,
my
hell.
God.
Yeah, so, so you got Randy Gregory, and now he's, like I said, it's either going to be 10 games or a year, and then, and then Greg Hardy's gone. But, hey, we got Zeke.
We got Zeke.
Yeah, I know you're happy about that, Mr. Ohio State fan.
I was happy. I don't know. There's an investigation. Hey.
Hey, let me tell you something, Tom. I know you're a top-notch Cowboys fan, so I'm going to tell you to go ahead and just relax there. All right? Just okay. cool your boots.
Oh, thank you, Jerry.
I know it's important to us, because what with the loss of Greg Hardy, we really found ourselves with a big hole at the woman beater position. So we drafted Zeke in the first round to kind of take over that role. Now, trust me, we did our homework. We got to know his psycho girlfriend long before we picked him. We figured she'd be just the type to stir up some trouble, and so when we made her break up with him, why?
Sorry, I blew it. Nature just took its course there, and we couldn't be more pleased.
Oh, Jesus.
Hey, Zeke is showing terrific denial skills, so we really value that here in Dallas. He's got a whole pot of evidence all cooked up and everything. It makes that girl look like a total slut.
Oh, my God.
We're hoping that as we get closer to the playoffs, he'll be able to beat up a couple of more and propel us right on through to the Super Bowl.
Well, as of right now, he looks fine. I mean, he's got all these witnesses on his side. He's got all these text messages and stuff from her that give her motive to make this up. But there isn't, police are conducting an investigation. That's what they have to have. They need to. That's their job. They got to find out. And they are going to talk to him at some point over the next week. How convenient that he has a hamstring twinge, John, so he's going to have to sit out a few days of practice. I'm sure nobody will notice. One day he won't be there because he'll probably be right here in Columbus, Ohio, because, this all went down in my backyard.
Well, let me tell you something. Here in Dallas, before we even start training camp, we spend mini camp and the OTAs in the classroom, and we learn how to make a deposition and how to do that sort of thing so that nothing comes out in the press and there's no incriminating anything. Sitting right there in front of anybody.
Well, they seem to be under the impression, I say they, I'm talking about Zeke's camp. In Zeke's
he takes
camp,
coaching very well, Tom.
Zeke's camp seems to believe that the interview with the police is just a formality, and that they know nothing's going to become of this. That she's absolutely a liar, and on and on and on. And I hope they're right, because when his name was called to the Cowboys, we were texting. My phone was blowing up. I was ecstatic.
He was. I'm going to tell you what. This was what I got back as a text message from Tom.
I knew it.
I don't even know how he spelled it, but I knew what he was doing.
Oh, no.
He was definitely in cahoots with something.
Oh, well. So, anyway, yeah. So, Hardy gone, Gregory out, I don't know, 10 games to a year, and Zeke, I guess we'll see what happens. But from everything I've read and heard, it looks like he's going to be fine, I hope.
Yeah. Behind that offensive line, I think he'll be just fine. They signed Alfred Morris to get 2 yards every other game or so. And Darren McFadden's going to be sitting there wondering where his job went.
Well, I think Alfred Morris is a great backup.
The thing is, if he can get back to the form, what he was good in was Mike Shanahan's one-step cutback, cut blocking scheme,
right.
that zone blocking scheme where he gets that one little opening from the backside and makes that cutback, and there's nobody over there. They drag everybody to one side. But when they started to try to run it outside and try to run a little off tackle, he couldn't make the pivot. He couldn't find the hole. He would just kind of tippy-toe up in there, and he would get smoked. And he can't catch. So, all the best to him. But I really don't see him as an improvement over McFadden, other than maybe durability. That's about it.
Yeah, he's definitely younger.
Yeah, but he's not as fast.
Look, man, 5 to 10 carries, 5 to 10 touches, and a few blocks. That's all we need out of him. I think he can handle that.
I don't know. 5 to 10 carries, that's about 7 or 8 yards.
Okay. This guy was on your fantasy roster for quite a while.
That's right. When he was with the Shanahans. I had him at the right time. That's why I'm the champion of that league right now, because you know when to cut bait.
Oh, boy. You're back to defend your title.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
And before we go to break, I did want to mention this. ESPN reports that the U.S. Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has reversed a district court's ruling that had overturned running back Adrian Peterson's suspension and fine, which was, you know, that's when he pleaded no contest to that, you know, when he injured his son with the switch,
right.
You know, and you know, they've overturned it, and now all of a sudden he has to pay this fine, number one. A source told Edwarder that the he must pay the value of three game checks from 2014, which is just a little over $2 million. Look at that.
Shouldn't be swacking around at the kids, man.
So it is.
You shouldn't be smacking the kids?
Well, you know, this was another case Roger Goodell lost initially, just like Tom Brady, which we're going to talk about coming up.
Oh, boy.
But see, people are like, oh, he's just got it in for Tom Brady. No, Roger Goodell's got it in for anybody he thinks might have gotten over on him. That's what it is, because he wasn't letting Adrian Peterson get away with this either. Now, I will say this. It does not involve his eligibility to play. So Peterson is not going to be suspended any games, but he is going to have to pay a fine of three game checks from 2014. Like I said, that's just over $2 million. So he's in camp. He's playing. He'll be ready to go September 11th when they open the season against the Titans. But I just thought, man, really, he went through all of this. I mean, I just wonder what it cost. You know, this because we're talking about the U.S.
It doesn't matter.
We're talking about the U.S. Eighth Circuit Court here.
Yeah.
What it cost Roger Goodell and the NFL and legal fees, and what it cost taxpayers, all of this because Roger Goodell had to make sure, you know, that he could do something to Adrian Peterson. He's not going to be able to suspend him from the field, but damn it, I'm going to get $2 million out of that son of a bitch. Who wins now? It's just unbelievable.
Have you read his rulings? Have you actually read the rulings themselves that he writes himself, his opinions that he writes? They go like this. How he spells it, I don't know, but the point is clear. Yeah, you know, he managed, and see, this is the NFLPA's fault, okay? That for one, half of the things that we can't stand about what's going on with football, like fining defensive players because they tied their shoes and might be able to keep up with the receiver.
Right.
The ridiculousness of this kind of stuff, they allowed to be negotiated into the game. Now, I get it as maybe, you know, the players are saying, well, you know, I'm tired of brain injuries, so, you know, none of that. So I can see that, but Goodell has managed to take these two high-profile cases and turn them not into what's right or what's wrong about the situation, but whether or not he has the authority to do it. And the NFLPA has failed miserably in not allowing him to have the precedence to be able to do this kind of shit.
Right.
That's the most intelligent thing I'm going to say for the rest of the show. Okay.
All right.
I'm done with all of that football analysis stuff.
All right. We are going to talk about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady coming up next.
Failed my test. Caught again. Another season. Shut down the drain. Marijuana inhalation. It's fogging up my brain. Fourth offense, so I'm toned. I am full of Acapulco Gold, a runner, a bong shotgunner. NFL, tell me why can't I play when I'm a little high? In a goal line situation, I'll float over the line. Take the pitch, run it straight, jump the line and score, and then they give us 6 points. And I smoke two joints, smoking ganja, 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 smoking ganja, ganja, ganja. So effed up, can't you see? I could have paid someone to be for me. Well, I should have been born Jamaican. I smoke enough for three. Hey there, ref, hold my roach. Think they called my number. How come no one's chasing? Which way am I facing? Smoking ganja.
Yo,
VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
I throw football, you know, and I happen to do that, you know, good enough to get here and have this platform. But I don't think any of us cure cancer. I don't think any of us, you know, you think about the impact you have on people's lives, and if we can perform some type of entertainment for people to, you know, to change the subject a little bit on life, I think that's a great thing. We're all blessed to be doing this. We're all blessed to have the opportunity to live out, you know, truly childhood dreams. I mean, that's, people say living a dream. You truly are living a dream. All of us grew up and you wanted to be a professional athlete, and all of us wanted to play in a Super Bowl, and to have this spectacle and to enjoy this and to have these experiences, we're all going to remember this for the rest of our life. At this present time, we're all thinking about...
What's up, y'all? This is Lee.
Chachi.
Nick.
Davey.
Mac.
And we're with
Pop Evil.
And you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour right here. Turn it up!
In your own investigation, did you find whether or not anyone will be...
I've told you everything I know.
Coach, what do you say to your critics?
I have nothing. I don't have an explanation.
There are a lot of people who are questioning your integrity who say that you are a win at...
I've told you everything I know.
What do you say to critics who are challenging your character, which seems to go well beyond the sport of football?
I told you everything I know.
Any message to the fans who are watching all of this and are upset by this?
I've told him everything I know. There's nothing else I can add to it.
I would assume you've had conversations with Tom about this specific issue.
I have no explanation for what happened.
Coach, why do you think these controversies continue to follow you?
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
I've told him everything I know, and I have no explanation. And that's that.
You know, in all honesty, what he really ought to do is just come in a half an hour before any of them get there and just say this shit to the empty chairs, leave a videotape behind, and get back to work.
He could even pause. He could even pause. Yeah. Okay, next question, and then he waits, and they ask it, and then it is already, you know.
Right, right. Just have some lackey standing there with a little tape recorder that when they ask a question, they just press it, and it says, look, I've told you everything I'm going to tell you, so piss off.
Here, you want to hear a conversation between Bill Belichick and Jerry Jones?
Oh, yes.
This is how it would go.
Well, what do you think?
We'll go balls out with Dez.
We don't have time for all that.
Right. They only have control of what they can control. That's all they have in control.
I only can control what I can control. I mean, I only can, you know, control what I can control. I mean, there's not much I can control. It's out of my control now.
We have reason to believe that control may have been infiltrated.
I don't have time for that control crap. Why, we're a
diaper. Oh, God. All right, so let's see. What happened next? Belichick, he was asked if he discussed all of this with Tom.
Did you ever discuss with Tom his decision that ultimately decided to drop it and drop the appeal and leave the team with
Bill? No, we're going forward. Yeah, we're going forward. So that'd be a great thing for you to talk to him about.
Did you arrange it? I'd be happy to.
That'd be a great thing for you to talk to him about.
Oh, we're going forward. He's asking about Tom. You know, talk to him. It'd be a great thing for you to talk to him about. We're going forward.
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati. At least that's where we're dropping you off.
Oh, yeah, he got mad. Oh, you know, I say he got mad. He never sounds like he's, you know, like upset, but you can tell he's disgusted with these guys week in and week out.
I've heard from people, you know, in radio, you've heard people talking in other interviews and things like that, that says that when you ask him a question that's pretty intuitive about football that doesn't have anything to do with the frickin' soap opera bullshit or whether he did this or did that, if you ask him about, like, strategy and things like that that isn't really directly applied to the game, he'll talk forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't go asking him stuff he's not going to tell you, which during the football season is everything.
Well, and I believe that he doesn't give a shit. I mean, I'm sure he would like to have Brady from game one, but he's preparing to play the game with who he's got. If a guy gets suspended or he gets hurt, whatever, you know, it's next man up with him. And he's all about the X's and the O's and, you know, everybody do your job and, you know, all that. He doesn't want involved with the drama. He doesn't give a shit. He just wants to win football games, and that's all he's about.
He goes home and thinks about winning 11 games with Matt Cassel, and before you know it,
exactly.
Just try and stop me. You don't have any idea how to stop me.
And we don't know how he spelled it. So
he keeps meticulous notes.
Knowing Belichick, he's got... Wow.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
I appreciate what your dog just said. For everybody listening, if you need a translation, he said, "The season has started. Please go to the podcast page and hit that donation button."
That's right. And I've trained her all summer.
It's a great dog. Love that dog.
Trained her all summer. Not only does she tell people to hit the donation button, she also drives a truck for some spare change.
I love, you know, they were, you know, back to Brady and Belichick and everything. They were, you know, obviously Tom Brady, he's at camp. He gets asked about this and, oh, he says people are calling him and they're freaking out. And Tom, what are you going to do? And this is what he had to say.
You know, things are going to be fine. This isn't ISIS. This isn't, you know, no one's dying. But, you know, we'll get through this and, you know, hopefully we can really start preparing for Seattle.
Does he know which fans he's talking to? Because they think somebody is dying. As far as they're concerned, Roger Goodell is ISIS.
Tom, you're going to take a month off. Oh, no, he's got to go on vacation.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Tom, what are you going to do, Tom? I think I'm going to bang my supermodel wife and watch television.
Let me tell you something, John. During the off season, hope everybody had a great off season. I went on a real vacation. I mean, this was my first real vacation. I went to Aruba.
Okay.
Caribbean vacation. It was awesome. And I could not believe how many people I met from Boston. And of course, you know me, I'm talking football with these guys and I'm talking about, and I'm bringing up Belichick because I want to get them going. You know, okay. I want to hear what they have to say. And man, there's nobody on this planet that hates Roger Goodell more than people in Boston. I'm telling you that right now.
I wouldn't pack his car.
Oh, my God. They can't stand him. I did meet some great people from Boston.
They should hate him. You know what? You used to say on the podcast long ago when he first became commissioner, I was trying to give him a chance, and you didn't like him right off the bat. So it was like a year where I was trying to defend him a little bit, and you didn't like him right off the bat. And you were 100% right. This dude is an egomaniac.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. He is. The owners are pleased with it.
Oh, Jerry. I just heard Jerry the other day say he's doing a great job because Jerry's making millions and millions of dollars, and that's all they care about is owners. Come on. And that's what I would care about. That's what I'd care about if I was an owner.
The only problem that I have with all of that is that I agree with Clint Eastwood about the pussy generation, because with all of these fucking rules, my quarterback keeps getting beat up.
Man. Now, see, Donald Trump said that America's
we're
going to
build a wall around Tony Romo. Mexicans are keep breaking his collarbone.
Jesus Christ.
That was another thing I heard Donald Trump say. He said America is becoming pussified just like the NFL.
Oh, well, see, now Goodell's going to get it. Find that guy $35,000.
USA! USA!
I'll tell you what, let's make him debate. We'll move the games to Tuesday. I'm not kidding this time. We'll make him stand up there in front of America and show everybody he doesn't know jack shit about what he's doing or what he's saying.
Hey, we got to call Belichick. You know,
okay.
And we even said on the Facebook page we were going to do this. So if anybody had, we just want to ask him a question. We're just going to ask him something and see, you know, what happens. And so we had people submit questions, and I picked one from Alfredo Narvaez Jr.
Long time listener.
Yeah.
First time writer.
I hope I said that right, man.
I think it's Narvaez, or if it's Narvaez.
I said Narvaez.
Narvaez?
Alfredo Narvaez Jr.
Maybe it's not Junior. Maybe it's Acuna.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we can get Belichick on the phone here. And we'll ask him Alfredo's question. This is a good one.
Hello.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, of course.
Hey.
Why wouldn't I answer my own damn call? Look, I'm not in the mood for this kind of crap today. I already did one press conference, and that's enough.
I didn't even ask the question yet. It's John and Tom from the Bang Radio Hour.
All right. You know what? I made a deal with you guys, so as long as you keep those pictures under wraps, I'll answer a couple of questions.
I'm only going to ask you one. One question.
All right.
Yes.
I'll deal with that one. One's good.
How long before you trade the current wife in for a newer model?
Holy fucking sweet Matilda. Yeah, look. So who asked this question?
Alfredo Narvaez Jr.
Alfredo Narvaez Jr. Look, I know this seems important to you, but your boss thinks it's important that you get on that spillover on aisle 5, okay? I'm for this kind of crap from these people. You people understand you're not on my level.
I do.
Do you understand that?
I do. I really do. Yes, I know I'm not.
I sincerely hope so. Think of it this way. I'm sitting up way up high, and I shit in a little hole, and you're down at the bottom of that hole yelling up to me what the people that are under you are yelling at you. You know what? I'm about done with this for this week. You know what? Here's the bottom line. I don't think I have to take a piss, but I'm going to go in the men's room right now and stand there like I do for a few minutes until you go away, okay?
Oh, my God. He's so pleasant. Why do we bother?
Holy shit, he's a grouchy old bastard, isn't he?
Oh, my God. He is, yeah, for a guy who's like the winningest badass coach ever, he sure is angry.
Well, you know, he should just go out and fuck somebody's wife. Get it out of his system.
Again.
Yeah.
Here, you want to hear him get mad again? Listen to this.
What happens if Jimmy plays better?
Look, I told you what's going to happen.
So there's no... There's this...
Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what happens if Jimmy plays better? Better than what? You're not going to see Tom Brady at all for 4 games, and then after 4 games, you're not going to see Jimmy at all.
I got to tell you, if by 4 games I can tell he's going straight in the Hall of Fame, then we can talk. Because the other guy is.
Hey, but you know what? I don't know.
Could you imagine, though?
I think when you hear the question, you go, well, that's absurd. Why are you even wasting everybody's time asking a question like what? He's not going to put Brady in if Jimmy's playing well. But what if Jimmy fucking played amazing? I mean, just lights out, was unbelievable. Because Brady, look. He's a leader, yeah, all that, but he was not very good last year, John.
Jimmy's playing good! As an aside, cut this out. I'm going to get you some Seinfeld drops of Jimmy! I'm going to send them up to the folder. Jimmy's playing well. Imagine, though, what happens if Brady comes back, all right, and they're like 3-1 or 4-0, which is entirely possible.
Yeah, and he's got 14 touchdowns and one interception.
Well, let's not get crazy.
Well, that's what I meant. I think it would have to be that crazy for there to be any even slight chance that he might go with Jimmy in game 5.
What if, well, not game 5. Let's say, okay, Brady comes back in game 5, loses, doesn't have a good game. Game 6 has another poor game. Game 7, he's still kind of sluggish. How long until those Bostonites start crying for his head?
Oh, 3 losses, and that would do it. How about if he's playing bad and can you imagine he has a horrible first half in the second or third of those games, and they sit him down, and Jimmy comes in and tears it up and has the comeback? I thought it was a crazy question at first, but then when I thought about it, well.
Jimmy could be Brock Osweiler.
Look, man, hey, you know, NFL, not for long. If you're being outplayed, man, you lose your job.
Well, see, Peyton Manning last year is the classic example with Brock Osweiler, who went out and really didn't show much of a nothing and got paid, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, did he get paid.
Giant Osweiler is, what, 6'9"? The dude's a beast, man. He's going to be a great quarterback, I think.
Dan McGuire, he was big, too. Remember him? Yeah, nobody does. He's going to. He could turn out to be all right, but really what he did by doing that, and then Andrew Luck getting paid, really what is probably, You know, Jim Irsay always overpays, but he gets what he wants, I guess, because he's fucking stoned all the time and doesn't know what the hell he's doing. What, how many zeros is that? Whatever, I don't care. Just sign the damn thing.
Stay off the weed.
Irsay doesn't bother with weed. He goes straight for pills that have names longer than your arm. Anyway, the Redskins are Kirk Cousins is the first quarterback since Drew Brees to be playing the year under the franchise tag.
You like that?
He's getting $22 million to play this year, and their option is to try to sign him to a deal next year or franchise him again for something like $40 million and then cut him loose.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what the hell they're doing, but...
I don't either. Yeah, I was glad to see, you know, Von Miller got a deal done. He deserved it. I was like, what are they doing in Denver? Because I saw the one player from the Eagles, the defensive tackle. Oh, God. What's his name? I can't remember his name, but he got like $60 million guarantee. And this guy, he ain't done anything compared to... I mean, he's a great player, but he hasn't done what Von Miller's done.
Von Miller.
Von Miller.
Von Miller with a super payday. Super payday.
Well, what's up with Joey Bosa, Mr. Ohio State fan? What the hell's going on with that? How is it that he's bucking the slotting system?
I don't know. I don't think he wants more than what the slot pays, but he wants the first 4 years guaranteed.
He's been taking advice from that guy that plays for this for the Cowboys.
Well, he's got a bad agent. I don't know. Are the Postons back? Are they back? Are they his agents?
I know you're supposed to be in a slot, but we don't believe in slots.
No, we negotiating like you the number one pick of the decade.
That's right, because as far as I'm concerned, that's what the New York Jets should have said.
Right.
I'll have to listen to the Bolt Talk podcast, find out what's going on over there.
Yeah,
the Bolt Talk podcast, friends of the Bang Radio Hour.
Yes. All right.
There you go.
Lauren so,
can thank me later.
USA Today, if anybody still reads the newspaper, I do like it from time to time, you know, if it's convenient for me to read the sports page from USA Today, because there's usually some fun stuff in there, and they've got a section in there called For the Win.
For the Win.
For the Win. And I saw this headline, and I thought I misread it, because it said, the Browns are suddenly stacked on offense.
Stacked, Tom. They're stacked.
The Browns. You're talking about the team.
Do they take
Cleveland?
Every quarterback they've had in the last 10 years and make them all lay down on top of one another? All right, who can ever jump over that's our running back.
Well, this was written by Stephen Ruiz on July 25th.
John, Stephen Ruiz.
John, this is now the most dangerous offense in the NFL.
God.
Oh,
the most dangerous
God.
Offense in the NFL, the Cleveland Browns. Well, they let Josh Gordon come back from all his pot smoke.
Well, that's part of the reason. The Cleveland Browns, I'm reading his article here. The Cleveland Browns' march toward relevancy picked up its pace Monday as the NFL conditionally reinstated wide receiver Josh Gordon, who was suspended for the entire 2015 season. And with that, the Browns have become one of the most fascinating teams in the NFL.
They are fascinating, Tom. Fascinating. We got to get Spock on here to find out what's really fascinating. You know, I think it's funny that what Cleveland deems to be, you know, one of the most feared teams in the NFL means relevancy.
John Madden, tell us about Josh Gordon.
He's the most dangerous player in the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah. How long has it been since he played a football game?
I don't got
right. That always works
20
out.
20 games, I think, or more.
Right.
And then he goes on to say, let's not forget how dominant Gordon was before his trouble with the league office began. In just 14 games, he caught 87 passes for a league-leading 1,646 yards and 9 touchdowns. In only 14 games, he has 4.5 speed, is built like a tight end, and can make contested catches downfield in traffic. At his best, Gordon is an elite number one receiver in the mold of Calvin Johnson.
Oh, in the mold of the big giant Megatron, I don't see that. But I'll tell you what, with RG3 and his uncanny ability to read a defense and shift his offensive line clear over into the next county, I'm sure we'll see some big numbers coming up quick. And if the Cowboys manage to trade for the only competent quarterback in town, then what?
If only RG3 could get points for throwing the ball through somebody's window.
Shit. You read that? At OTAs, he was trying to show Hugh Jackson that he could throw the ball away. I mean, dude, you're an NFL quarterback, and you have to prove to, you have to have practice to throw the ball away. So he was proving it by throwing it as far as he could outside the fence and hitting people's houses. What a moron. That's what people live in Ohio. God damn it, is that the RG3 playing quarterback? And Jesus Christ, get him off of my lawn! God damn it. Donald Trump will fix you!
Oh, my God. Yeah, it was a scene right out of Napoleon Dynamite. I can throw a football over those mountains.
It was that Michael Vick commercial.
Yeah.
Throws the ball out of the stadium.
Right.
Look, I can really do it from here to training camp. I can throw it over there and hit that dude's house. Look, okay. He's mowing the lawn.
Okay, let me continue with this article. There's more.
Okay.
I was already respecting the Browns.
All right. Gordon joins a wide receiver group. The Browns front office threw a ton of resources at this offseason, including, John, 5 NFL draft picks.
Well, they did have a good draft. I mean, they had a good draft for the day that they drafted it.
Did they? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. When I say they had a good draft, they had a lot of picks. They made a lot of good. I mean, they filled up their roster with bodies.
Well, I think it's funny that they threw a ton of resources at them because they used 5 of their 47 draft picks on receivers. What resources?
Hey, we got free tickets to the Republican convention. You want to go?
USA! USA!
You can spell that, right? Come on, you can go. You'll be one of the smartest guys there.
Oh, my God. That's funny. All right, well, the article continues. Suddenly, the Browns are loaded with offensive talent. First-round pick Corey Coleman is a route-running savant.
A savant?
Who is dangerous after the catch.
He's the most dangerous player in the NFL.
Right.
That just means he has a knife. He catches the ball and stabs the safety. Next motherfucker that comes near me before I score a touchdown's getting it.
Oh, God. It's like Bruce Willis in The Last Boy Scout when that guy's running down the field and starts shooting people to get him out of the way.
Yeah, that was the very beginning. That movie was so much fun.
Oh, it was. It was great.
Bruce Willis shoots 3 bullets and hits 4 tires.
I know.
On an overpass. Anyway, now that's all off base.
Let me see you do that, Chuck Norris.
Bruce Willis, Donald Trump supporter.
Second-year running back Duke Johnson showed flashes as a runner in 2015 and is already a weapon as a receiver out of the backfield. John?
He's the most dangerous player in the NFL.
Yes.
And he's got a name straight out of 1952. That's how you make it, boy.
Out of a 1952 porn, Duke Johnson.
He's from 1978 when everybody had so much freaking hair you couldn't see anything. Duke Johnson is a magnificent bottom.
Oh my god, that's funny.
Starring Duke Johnson as Lance Throatum.
You, your girl, and your Johnson.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Duke Johnson in Scrotal Delight.
You and your Johnson.
That's what's going to make the Browns awesome. Duke Johnson and Brown goes together in some films.
That's what's going to make them dangerous. Anyway, Gary Barnage. He emerged as a productive tight end last season. Now, I find it funny that Gary Barnage was actually awesome last year, and he'd kind of down. He was a productive tight end. He's the most proven one out of this whole bunch.
He got paid, too.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen, though. He's going to get in the huddle, and RG3 is going to go, "All right, Gary, just like we practiced, run over there by that house.
run over there in that guy's backyard."
Then he says, the offensive line lost some key pieces this offseason, but
got Joe Thomas.
But they still boast the supremely talented trio of Joe Thomas, which, yes, I agree with. Yeah. But then he goes on to say Joel Batonio and
who?
And John Greco. Oh, Joel Batonio.
He's the most dangerous player in the NFL.
Don't you know Joel Batonio?
He's got his bust already going to Canton, Tom. That's why he's in Cleveland, so he can be close by while they measure his head.
I don't know. They're two guards, you know.
Oh, my God.
Joel Batonio and who was the other guy? John Greco.
All right. They might be something. They really might be something. But here's what's going to happen. RG3 is going to get up on the line, see the blitz coming from the two inside linebackers, and he's going to shift them over to the freaking far hash tag, over to the far hash mark. Jeez, look, I'm a child of the 2000s, Tom. I said hashtag.
Oh, and then he says, and now you have one of the best offensive minds in all of football, and Hugh Jackson calling the plays.
Well, he is a pretty good offensive mind. However, he is in Cleveland, and he has to deal with those rays of stupidity that just emanate from that freaking field.
What's he going to do the day he drives to work and the Cuyahoga River's on fire?
Should I take the bridge? I don't know.
You are a factory of sadness!
Oh, well, all of that, John, you throw in Josh Gordon, man, and you've got danger in Cleveland.
Dude, I'm telling you what, I am fearful of what came out of Cleveland this summer. But it ain't got much to do with the Browns.
Oh, I got a couple quick things here. The Jacksonville Jaguars, you know, they had one, based on their draft ranking. It was one of the best draft classes in the entire league, and it might have been.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Ask me in 3 years. But anyway, a reporter interviewed this woman on the street about the team. I don't know why you just let me go pick somebody off the street.
Why not? I mean, that's who you're going to get the truth from.
That's
regular everyday
true.
Central Floridian.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, well, that's just it. She's in Florida, John, and she sounds like she's usually tipping the bottle by 10:30, 11 in the morning, and she's probably through half a pack of cigarettes already. And I'm sure that her tan is got to be 27 layers thick. You know what I mean? She is that epitome of that tan drinking, cigarette smoking Florida woman.
Florida woman and Florida man are the two best first words in any headline any day of the week.
That's absolutely correct.
Once that happens, and look, you're selling her short. There's got to be meth in there somewhere.
I don't know, but when I first heard the clip, I thought it was a man. I couldn't believe it was a woman, and then I had to go watch the video, and then I wasn't sure that it was a woman. So
that's what happens when I hear Tony Romo do an interview. This cheap shot brought to you by Johnson Ball Bearings. Duke Johnson in ball bearings. This week at the Bijou.
You and your Johnson.
At the Bijou. I remember the Bijou on Howard Stern. At the Bijou. That's fantastic.
He is one dangerous Johnson, Tom.
He's the most dangerous player in the NFL.
Hey, over here on the Eastern Seaboard, they named a mayonnaise after him, and it's pretty damn good.
All right. Yeah, okay. So anyway, he's going to talk to this woman, and man, she goes off. Is she going to let him know about the beach house she bought? And anyway, here it is.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year, we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Hey. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Oh, my God. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal the show.
Can't have that, you know. That wouldn't be the Jaguar way.
I bet you every time she opens her mouth, a cloud of seagulls appears above her head.
I'm mad now. We should have done this as a field trip. Okay. We should have done this as a field trip because it's very short. Like I said, it was less than 30 seconds and you could see her. But everybody should, whenever you get a chance, just go online and Google, I don't know, Jacksonville Jaguars homeless fan will probably get it for you. Because there's people online been very critical of this clip of him interviewing her because they say she's homeless and she might have mental issues and that it's not cool to make fun of her.
Well, she's a Jaguars fan. Obviously, she's got mental issues.
But, you know, I'm like, well, okay, I guess if they're criticizing the news guy for doing it, okay, but don't criticize me for having fun with it because
It's out there, baby.
You know, this is like supposed to be a legitimate news station. And if your news guy's going out looking for a story and he's right. going up to a homeless person with mental issues to get his story, maybe you should find a different reporter. You know right. what I mean?
He's like, Jesus Christ, I've been walking around all goddamn morning. There's nobody out here.
I mean, where in the world do you find somebody to do this?
USA!
Oh, no!
USA!
Shut up!
let's hear what the homeless woman who thinks that pool that's up above Jaguar Stadium would be a great bathtub. Let's hear what she has to say about this year's team.
Oh, my God.
You know, back when I had an apartment and Mark Brunell was the quarterback, we were pretty good. And that bitch Jeremy came along. And
Well, you know what? Jacksonville, a lot of people, it's like one of those darling picks. Like this year, the Vikings are the darling pick.
They are?
Yeah, they are. I mean, well, not necessarily for the Super Bowl, but a lot of people are picking the Vikings to take that next step, dominate the division, win the division. Maybe not dominate the division, but win the division. And it's almost like it's a foregone conclusion with a lot of people that I'm reading. And it's like, dude, the
Didn't Packers they win it last year?
I think they did, but I don't think it was by any, it was by some, I don't know, I can't remember exactly how they won it last year, but yeah, the Packers are still there. I don't know that you're, Jordy Nelson's back, yeah. And we all know that last year without, you know, the White Lightning, they were nothing.
I've heard, what's his name's in good shape now, the big running back.
Oh, Lacy?
Lacy, yeah, I've heard he's in much better shape, and there ain't gonna be no walk in the park. You're not just gonna, you know, blow right by Green Bay, I don't think.
Well, this is the fun time of year. This is when people put on their scarlet letter that says, I'm a football moron.
Dude, it's August. This is when the Philadelphia Eagles win the Super Bowl every year. Come on.
You know, this is when you find out who among your friends have any brains or not. Because the ones that will tell you, dude, when their starters were in week one in the preseason, they clobbered those dudes, man. They're going to be rolling this year. You just know. All right. You know, put the little red D on there for dumbass. You know it. I wish, you know, like Facebook should give you that opportunity to be able to go over to somebody's profile so that only you could see it and put a D on it for dumbass. So that you know, not even to bother, they're your friend, but, you know, they're a dumbass, so you don't read half their shit. And as you're going down, you see that red D and you don't mess with it.
Right.
You just know it's going to be some dumbass shit. You know, sorry, I said I wasn't going to say anything else smart for the rest of the show. I wish I was a homeless Jaguars fan. Really, I do.
Do you?
Well, at least I'd be on TV.
Well, I mean, not all Philadelphia fans are stupid. We know one.
Doug fucking Peterson!
Fuck the Philadelphia fucking Eagles! I'll cut your motherfucking throat!
Dude, he's 100% right now. I mean, he used to overreact to a lot of shit. And the fact of the matter is that they never, ever, 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 ever have ever sealed the fucking deal. You know, ultimately, he's been right all the time.
Well, what the fuck, my nigga?
Exactly. That's what he should say to the Eagles on a daily basis. He should send them a text every day that says that.
Yeah!
Yeah!
Doug Peterson. I can't wait.
Doug fucking Peterson!
Get the fuck out of here, man.
So this weekend, we get the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So we get Marvin Harrison, who's going to stand up and talk for a few minutes.
Brett Favre.
We get Brett Favre. Who else is going in?
Does it matter? We get Brett Favre.
We get Brett Favre. That's right. So, we get Brett Favre.
Oh, wait. No, Ed DiBartolo.
Oh, we get Eddie DiBartolo, who's going to stand up there and say, hey,
I didn't see nothing. You understand?
Can you believe Ed DiBartolo is going into the Hall of Fame?
They got him for practically racketeering.
They did get him for racketeering. What do you mean? That's why he got thrown out of the fucking league. Are you kidding me? And he cheated the salary cap. They lost draft picks and got fined for that shit. This guy's going into the Hall of Fame. Are you kidding me? You put T.O. in that Hall of Fame right fucking now. This guy, are you kidding? Fame.
On that bust that they're going to make, can they make sure that you can see my pinky ring? Do I seem funny to you? Huh? Do I seem...
He's going to be in there when all John Madden's talking to the busts at night. He's going to be the one going,
hey, you, do I seem funny to you?
What, like I make you laugh? Like I'm funny?
Yeah, what am I saying? Believe me, if I could get down off of this goddamn shelf...
Well, here's what's funny. You know where he's from, right?
DeBartolo?
Yeah.
No.
Youngstown, Ohio, man.
Really?
That's all the, right, so dude, Youngstown, you know, when the mob was yeah. big, you know, you had New York and right. you had Chicago. And what was directly between the two of them, right dead in the middle, was right, Youngstown, right. Ohio, and it's still full of mob.
I'm sure there's going to, you know, during the Hall of Fame speeches, they show their family and shit.
Oh,
they
my
show
God.
Their teammates. They're going to show a bunch of fucking cooking nose guys
yeah,
sitting out there in three-piece suits. Hey, that's right there. Way to go there. Ready? Hey, you know, we used to cook. They're going to have Rich Eisen's going to have here on the podcast is Vinny the Shiv Monsanto. He's going to talk to us. About Eddie DeBartolo.
Yeah, we used to call him Eddie the Fish because, well, I can't say, you know, because I didn't see nothing.
Oh, shit.
I just want to thank everybody out there for this opportunity to be in the Hall of Fame. It's overwhelming. I just want to say that... Once my son here introduced me into the Hall of Fame, I felt as if I was complete. I wanna thank No Neck Rocco over there. I wanna thank Vinny the Shiv.
I mean, it's so funny this is gonna happen in Canton about 5 minutes from Youngstown, man. It's gonna, the whole damn crowd. There's gonna be, none of the other players are gonna have fans or family there because these guys are gonna take over the entire place.
Knuckles, I see you out there. Don't forget. Don't forget.
Every one of them's going to be out there in 90 degree heat in a suit and a hat with a feather coming
That's
out.
That's right. It's sunglasses. Somebody takes their picture, they're going to go snatch the camera.
Hey, go get the camera over there. What the fuck's the matter with you, huh?
Take that son of a bitch back and dump him in the creek.
Oh, my God. Oh, shit. That's too goddamn funny.
Wow.
That's why Cleveland is a dangerous place.
Yeah, you know what John Madden says about Eddie DeBartolo.
He's the most dangerous player in the NFL.
Believe me.
He'll make you sleep with the fishes. All these guys sitting there in the crowd when the camera pans on them trying to hide their face and shit. Tilting their hats down. Hey, yo, hey.
I'm wanted in 17 states. Get that son of a bitch camera out of here.
What's the fucking mook going over here with the camera? Oh, yo.
The what the mook?
Oh, my God. That's goddamn funnier than shit.
Oh, look at you fishes. You fishes, man. You're a fish.
Yeah, this Eddie DeBartolo made the Bengals sleep with the fishes.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a fun year. I know it. I know it's going to be a fun year.
If anything's like that, I'm going to have a ball at least. I hope everybody else had a great time because I was just having a blast.
That was fantastic, and I think you guys should all listen to John's dog and go hit that donation button.
That's right. My dog knows.
Yes,
trust
he
me.
Does.
My dog knows.
Hey, you know who can fix this country? My dog. Nobody else. Just my dog. Don't ask me how. He can do it.
All right, John. Where can swallowing 3 teaspoons of water kill you?
Rio.
Yes.
That's an easy one. Oh, this is the biggest, I hate to say it, but it's the biggest shit show on planet Earth.
Yeah, that's what the water is. The shit show. You're right.
Yeah, I think the U.S. Issued a travel advisory that said if you drink the water, expect to become violently ill.
USA! USA!
And it's not even that. Dude, every athlete is getting robbed.
You know, did you see? My favorite was the Russian diplomat.
Your favorite?
Because
this is my favorite bit of corruption, everybody. Look.
No, because the Russian diplomat who was there for the Olympic team, with the Russian Olympic team, whether they should be there or not is a whole nother debate that I don't even care about or want to get into. I don't care about the drugs, whatever. You were taking steroids. Somebody was. I don't care.
Right.
I'm just glad he was there because in Russia, they don't fuck around. You know what I'm saying? No. They ain't going to put up with that shit. So here's this Russian guy in Rio, and guess what he's got, John? Diplomatic immunity. He's a Russian diplomat. He's got diplomatic immunity.
Hell so
when the piece of shit tried to carjack him and rob him, what'd he do? He grabbed that son of a bitch by the collar and killed him.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
You know, we've got to get law and order under control, Tom, and that's more than enough reason for me to build a wall, because the only way to get to the United States from Rio, which is a crime-ridden dump, by land is through Mexico.
Right. So build a wall and force them to use the tunnel.
That's right. There's a longer waiting list.
Okay. So you got that. That was, I thought that was great. And now, and then, of course, you got the United States basketball team living on a cruise ship. They won't even stay on the land anywhere. They got a big cruise ship.
It's huge.
It is.
Google a picture if you haven't seen it yet.
Oh, my God. And they've got bulletproof glass built around the port. It's unbelievable. And
they're smart.
You got NBA players who are playing for their other countries, you know, who are from other places, whether it's France or whatever. And they're stuck in the village. And it's like, well, you ain't coming here. You're not on our team. You know,
they're looking out the window at the big ship going, stupid bitch.
They got 20 NBA players on Team USA staying on this cruise ship that's got 400 rooms, and they won't let anybody else on it.
They ought to. The rest of the American team, all teams, should be on there.
I agree.
You know, fuck it. Especially when you see things like somebody, I can't remember which country it was, but somebody pulled their fire alarm in the middle of the night, so all the athletes went outside, and when they came back in, all their rooms had been ransacked and flicking fleeced.
It's unbelievable what's going on there,
It's a thieves' paradise, so you got to do what you can. So I recommend to every American athlete down there, get yourself a Russian diplomat, keep it in your holster.
Oh, my God, do what you can. It's ridiculous. It is, I mean, come on. This is nuts. They were warned so far in advance. This is a bad idea. You've got to move the Olympics. I mean, it started out with worries about Zika virus. Zika virus is the least of their worries.
That is the least of their worries. And I can't wait for Bob Costas to sit there and describe to us the kayaking through the human sewage. That was just, you could see the sunlight here in the early morning in Rio glinting off of the piles of feces as they glide by the swimmers. Here as they ride through the triathlon, as they out there to the buoy, and right there, Tom, you can see large patches of just raw sewage that they have to go through. This is going to test their endurance, because they're going to have to hold their breath and keep their mouth closed for at least, I would say, a good 30 meters. And if not, they risk death.
Yes. Oh, look, they're passing a swimmer. Oh, that's not a swimmer. It's a leg, an arm, and a nose.
Well, we call that a floater here in Rio, Tom. Those things, they're all over the course. We kind of like to think about these races as steeplechases in the water.
There's body parts floating up on this beach, man. Come on.
This whole thing
is fucking ridiculous.
If you could sit down with a group of really bad science fiction writers and say, come up with the most apocalyptic Olympics you could, they would not come anywhere near this. None of them would think, drinking the water should make you shit out like 38% of your body weight within 10 minutes. Oh, my God, I drank a fucking bottle of, I drank it out of the water fountain, and I shit my liver out. I'm going to die. I shit my kidneys out.
Oh, this is unreal. We're just getting started.
I'll tell you, Bob Costas is going to be wishing he was in Sochi with pink eye.
This is Bob Costas coming to you from the men's room of the NBC studios here. I'd like to be able to come to you from out there in the studio, but unfortunately, I accidentally drank some of the water.
I expect to be dead.
Tell my wife I love her.
Oh, and we're just getting started, man. Today is Friday, August 5th. The opening ceremonies are starting, like, right now. So
absolutely. We should tune that in. I should actually, we should finish the show up, and I should tune that in so I can sit there and see how many crimes happen right now.
I know, exactly. And with that, we are done. I will tell you, we will be back to do a show in 2 weeks, because next weekend is nuts for me, so we'll be off then. And then the weekend after that is our draft, as John is the returning defending champion.
That's right, the Bruisers, and, number one. Suck it, Adam.
We'll have a show. I wish everybody knew why you were saying that. I won't go there. That's all right. But I just wish they all. Yeah, he does. Anyway, so yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks to do another show, and then 2 weeks after that, which will be Labor Day weekend. That'll be our kickoff and prediction show. Because, you know, our predictions are the only ones that really matter. We prove that every year at the end of the year when we play back the predictions from all the experts on TV, and they're all extremely wrong.
Remember last year when I picked the Broncos to beat the Panthers in the Super Bowl?
I think I did the same.
Yeah. See? You can trust us. Believe me.
Actually, I had the Cowboys over the Colts.
I can't even remember what I had, but it was close.
You had the Cowboys losing to the Patriots.
I had the Cowboys?
Yeah.
You know, that was when I was drinking tequila.
Right. Now that you're just back to the whiskey, you're not going to make that mistake.
Hell no, baby. Let me tell you something. Patriots are going to beat the Patriots.
No, you know what we say, I always say, John, we're always a year early.
I know. I know.
So I got to pick the Cowboys again, right? Because, I mean, I was a year early last year, and if I can't pick them this year, when can I pick them?
For those of you that may have just tuned in and thinking you're listening to last year's show, or in 2010, or in 2007.
We'll go balls out with Dez.
We don't have time for all that.
What did I see? Did I see Donovan McNabb just picked up a con? He's going to do radio.
Oh, God.
Yeah, he's going to do... he's not going to do, like, you know, sitting around being Super Bowl participant and giving his analysis. He's going to be doing color on the radio. I think it's for the ones that do Monday Night Football.
What?
Who the hell? Yeah, I can't remember which broadcasting company does that, but Westwood One, because they have that guy that does the "And now on the Westwood One Radio Network."
13-year NFL vet, Super Bowl participant, Donovan McNabb. Come on.
Right. Now, that guy that I was just making fun of that does that announcing, you probably know exactly who that is.
Yes.
Yeah. And he would probably say, Super Bowl participant.
All right. Let's wrap this up. We got to go watch the Olympics. We got to watch the crime.
Yeah.
And the shit. And the body parts. And the. I mean, it's just stupid. This is so stupid.
Here comes the Romanian delegation, Tom, and as you can see, they are let in by their boxer. Oh, wait, he's been robbed, and he's been kidnapped. There's a ransom demand. I'm sure it's going to be coming soon. I think picking up the flag there is one of the wrestlers.
It's going to be a show.
I mean, I feel like constantly the announcers are going to be announcing athletes coming out for an event, and they're not going to come out. Has anybody seen the Italian sprinter? No,
you'll hear somebody with a freaking heavy Portuguese accent from the shadows going, "He will come out for $100,000 American."
Jesus. All right. So 2 weeks from now, we'll do it again. 2 weeks after that, and then it's on, man. Football is here. Yes.
Time for the Redskins to hit the Super Bowl. Oh, I gave away my pick.
Sure, John. Sure. All right. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Bang